Well, you woke up this morning. Praise God, you can rejoice in that. I've kind of been thinking about a sure thing. Have you ever based your life on a sure thing? Or usually that's really wanting you to do. And sometimes in business, you're convinced that it's a sure thing, but the banker that you go to, they're not so convinced. So they give you they usually give you a hard time and try to take everything for collateral so that you can feel good about your sure thing. Hallelujah. But you know what? In Christ, it's a sure thing. Amen. Everything in Christ is a sure thing. So it's very important to get in Christ. Sunday school, only five and down. Five and down. Those that are not five, come back. It's six and down. Those that are not six, come back. That was, I knew I was missing something along the trail of life. So we have a sure thing going, and sure things you need to access, be able to access sure things. If you had $1 million in the bank, but you didn't have the right number, the right code to get into the $1 million, it could be $1 million in the bank, but you couldn't access it. And I think that the body of Christ, maybe the struggle with the body of Christ as far as accessing things, we have to do it a certain way, and so that God has laid out principles of the kingdom. You know what a principle is? You don't shingle a roof before you pour the foundation. Amen? You don't start with the shingling. That's one of the last deals to get this structure up. You have to start with the foundation. So God lays down foundational things, principles of kingdom living, and then we take those principles and we carry them out. Now, a principle that is diluted or polluted will not get you to the place that you're wanting to get. It might get you a little ways along where you feel pretty good about yourself. You know, kind of like this, I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago. Praise God, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. You know, that's a pretty nice principle. But the fact is, if you don't add a line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, then you're not going to get all that God has for you. And I want all that God has for me, and I want it a sure thing. I don't want to have, you know, if it's a sure thing for salvation for my life, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to hell, praise God, glory to God, that's good enough for me. You know, I mean, if that was the only thing that I had, I would jump on that. That's the best deal in town, best deal in the country or state. But what if all these things that God has promised us and stamped yes and amen on them, if that was a truth and it was a sure thing, why not go for the sure thing? Now, I don't know if I'm going to borrow you $50,000 for your sure thing, but I would invest my entire life. I'd give everything that I could to buy in to what God has. And you know, it tells us in some parables like that, you know, they found this place and they found this treasure and they went and sold everything they had so they could buy the field. Are we ready to sell everything that we have to buy the field? Now, David was laying out a principle of 1 yard. You see, I think maybe it's $2,300. So now if one person could give $2,300, then it would be paid for. But you break it down, and principally it works better if 40 people give $130 instead of $2,300, one person, and it just spreads it out, and it's pretty cool, you know. Now, you're not even going to be able to park what Dave laid out. I don't think you can get, unless you have a real compact car, that you're going to be able to get your car on there. And your name will not be written on the concrete. Maybe. You know, if you come out and help us pour it, then you can probably do that. Hallelujah. So God has some incredible things that if we can access it in our hearts and believe it in our minds, then we will be changed forevermore. And I want to be changed today from this point and on. And so that is going to bring me to a humble place. You know, I mean, humility comes before honor. I said humility comes before honor. And if I don't know how I can access this, I got to humble myself. You say, well, I know how to do it. I can do it. No, you don't know how to do it. And you don't know. You have to walk in faith. You have to step out into something that you don't know, but you know that it's there. And you know that it's 100%. But most people looking at you like, what are you, crazy? I remember when I first got saved, I started going to church. And I mean, I went to church a lot. I mean, we went to church every Thursday night. We went to church every time the doors were open, we were in church. Now, that was a weird deal for a lot of people that I used to hang out with. You know, me going to church every time the door was open, that's a strange deal. But it was really what it was. It was doing some training, and I was accessing things in the spirit that was changing my life. They said in 3 months' time, he'll be back. Oh, the old Jake will be back. Don't worry, he'll be back. But you know what? I never went back. I was an elder at the VFW for many, many years, and I dropped my eldership. I was a minister of the VFW, and I dropped my ministership of that place, and I got into the kingdom. Amen? So, with all of it all, man, I tell you what, we got a sure thing going. Catch this. Would somebody look up 2 Corinthians 5, 3, and then stand up and shout it out? I know no one carries Bibles these days because we all have our phones and we got about 50 translations on there. 2 Corinthians 5, it's pretty familiar scripture, but I think that it's something that's going to activate us. Yeah. Give me the best, Mary. Read three scripture or read three verses if necessary. Old things have passed away. Behold, I think that's 2 Corinthians. Okay. That isn't what I'm looking for. Okay. I'm looking for a new thing from the old thing. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I thought it was 2 Corinthians 5. What is it? 17. That's right. I'm sorry. Sorry, Mary. We were in the right church, wrong pew. Okay. All right. Can you do it, Tom?
Therefore. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here.
All right. So if anyone is in Christ, the old has gone and the new is here. So if the old is gone, then you're not working with old things. Chad was talking about chainsaw in all that junky places, and I know what he's talking about because I've been back there several years myself trying to take that, you know, some bad stuff. But you get rid of it, and a new life comes forth. You know what? But you have to get rid of the old stuff, right?
Right.
All right. The old stuff is not going to be. And so this great meeting in heaven, God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus met in heaven, and they were working on getting rid of the old stuff. So I'm going to start reading some of this. It is at that point that Scripture says, Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. What does that mean? Before Genesis 1:2, there was this conversation, and Jesus agreed before God and said, "Let there be light." He agreed that at some point he would step into the history of the world, step into humanity, and give himself as a sacrifice for sin so that people could find God and be restored. This was before man was even made. So you were on his mind even before you were even made. In fact, every man before the foundations of the earth, that's before Genesis 1:1. So now he's got this great plan. Apparently, you must be pretty important. I mean, a plan like that, he's got a plan all the way back, even before the foundations of the earth. Apparently, you must be pretty important that he was going to include you in this great plan. All right? And so he had this plan. Now the plan has to be acted out. You know what I'm saying? You get this great plan. Now, okay, we got this great plan, and we're going to draw it up on a nice big tag board, and we're going to see how many $140 or $130 to pour the parking lot. That's great, but I'm sick of tag boards, and I'm sick of all them programs. I want concrete, and I want it now, so I can drive on it. Just what Dave was talking about, I want it now. So that means that we become a now people, ready to say one principle that we're going to do. If it takes me 1 month's time to raise $130 to buy 1 yard of concrete, I'm going for it because it's going to be a blessing. Okay? All right. I'm glad that you're all real excited about that. I better go. I better keep on reading on. I mean, man. Okay. So this plan is a good plan, except most people aren't even buying into it because, you know, it's way out there. And I don't even know if God was buying into it, but definitely God was buying into it. So there is something compelling about you that causes God to go ahead, even though he knows what is going to happen. God knew what was going to happen. He went ahead, knowing that he would have to make an ultimate sacrifice just to keep you within the remnant of his love, of his care, and of his passion. That's amazing, and that's very intentional. Do you believe that we need to be intentional?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When we become intentional, that really brings principle out. I'm a principled person. I'm going to carry out a principle because I'm intentionally doing this. And God was intentionally doing this. I mean, it wasn't any, you know, second base plan. Hey, I got a great plan. Maybe this going could work out. So anyway, at that point, they decided that Jesus would come to die. Then what happens? We have to take them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This is Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. So with Jesus doing that, he's going to take us out of darkness into light. We have to get them to clean up their act and think differently and all that kind of stuff. And who is going to do that job? That doesn't look like, I don't know if I want that job. They are looking down and looking around, and Jesus says, well, I am going to die for humanity, so that leaves you two. Talking about the Father, talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? And the Holy Spirit is going, I don't want that job. What? You mean pastoring their behavior into something new? I do not want that job. It could be very boring, okay? So the Holy Spirit, now, I don't know if the Holy Spirit was doing this, but it's kind of like this. You know what? We're not into behavior modification because it's no fun, especially when you can't do it. So anyway, we go on, and so Jesus was doing that. And so it says they're looking at each other, wondering what they're going to do. At lunch, they had another thought. I know when Jesus is dying on the cross, why don't we put everyone into Jesus and kill them? Are we feeling better about everything now? So now this is the plan, is that we're going to take this Jesus, because he's going to be the supreme sacrifice, but instead of trying to work with behavior modification, we're going to kill everybody. All right. Okay, I see you're excited about that. Okay. So when Jesus is dying on the cross, why don't we put everyone into Jesus and kill them? Why don't we kill them and then we will put them in the grave with him as well? So we will need to invent a kind of experience. Okay, we will call it baptism. Okay, did you get her now? Okay, so now we got this new experience, and we're going to call it baptism. Jesus got it all figured out. And when they are baptized into his death, and they come out in newness of life, all the old life is left in the grave. Okay, then we will just deal with newness of life. That means we will never have to deal with their behavior. We just have to deal with their identification. It means that we do not have to deal with their sin because it has been dealt with once and for all. We just get to deal with righteousness. We will just say to them, you need to reckon yourself dead. Consider yourself dead to sin and be alive to me. They are all high-fiving each other, hugging each other, kissing each other because it's such a brilliant idea. We're not dealing with the old man. We're not dealing with modification of your behavior. We're dealing with a brand new spanking person ready to receive what God has for them. Okay, so this is principles to live by that are right principles. Now, I don't know where we got off the line that we can deal with all of this negativity called the old man. Because he can come up with the most negative things in the entire world. If you're not feeling good, he'll make sure that you're not feeling good. If you're financially broke, that old man will make sure you know that you're financially broke. He'll keep on speaking to you. If you're under condemnation, don't worry. That old man will put you under a much more deeper condemnation. And that behavior, because you're into that behavior, then... Well, you're just shot. You can't make it. But the fact is, that isn't the gospel. That isn't Jesus. That isn't what was slain before the foundations of the earth. Jesus took the old, and then he said, I am raising up one new lump. I'm raising up one new man on the earth, and I'm going to be the example, Christ the example. And then I'm going to walk, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to allow you to talk about my righteousness. You remember Jesus when they were going to kill him? They were all upset because the religious leaders wanted to kill him because he was so righteous. And they wanted to kill him, but he said, well, what good deed are you going to kill me for? Because Jesus never did anything wrong, okay? Now, that might not be our story, but it should be our story from this day forward. Now, you say, well, am I going to blow it? Yeah, you will. But you have an advocate called Jesus that is perfect. And he's very logical what he did. He didn't do it in vain. And so now we have newness of life in us. And that's what we talk about. We don't talk about all of the stuff that could go and what should go and how we should behave. No, we're talking about Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. We got great hope in us because Jesus lives in us. When them little kids go, where does Jesus live? He lives in my heart. So true. So true. But you know what? We can't put it into religion. We have to put it into an everyday walk with the Master himself. Right. And you know what? He's full grown. We're growing up into him. So I expect kids to be kids. I don't demand something from those kids that they can't bring forth until they grow up in it. What I love about Jesus also is that he's not twisting your arm to get you to a place where you have to do something now or you're going to miss the boat. Come on. It's not about that. You've already, if you've made Christ your Savior and asked him into the Lord to be the Lord of your life, you didn't miss the boat. You're on board. But now he's trying to bring us to a more mature understanding of saying, hey, you know what? We can expect this. When we talked about baptism, what is baptism in Romans 6 talks about? That the old man is dead. He's gone. You're not dealing with him. You're not exalting him. You're not talking about him. You're talking about the Son of Glory. Isn't it interesting? Every person in the Bible that's in the Bible, if you looked at their life, now, you know what? What messed up David? King David. What messed him up? I mean, one of the biggest messes up that he did. What was it?
Murder.
Murder, yeah. You know, that could mess you up a little bit. Adultery, murder. Okay, but before that, David was doing a pretty good job, wasn't he? He was a man after God's own heart. And even after all of that, what did God do? He forgave David. Now, David messed up, and it cost him dearly. The sword was going to be was released into his house, and so there was going to be death in his house from generation to generation. There were several other things but who did that? Who did it? The devil? No. David did it. And so David could hold, you know, it's interesting. He prayed, he did everything that he possibly could do before he went. And then the child died, and he went and washed up, and he said, okay, I did everything I possibly could do to get that child. But after he's gone, he's gone. So he washed up, and he went on. You know what? We have to understand that God is taking us to a place that we can go on in Christ. And we are new creatures in Christ today. Yesterday's just on a fool's calendar, and your behavior modification is not going to do it. It's dead. It's gone. You're, as Graham would say, you're flipping dead. That's in English. I don't know. I was thinking maybe in England, I probably should look that up. That might be a bad deal to be saying stuff like that. But anyway, I'm just kind of going, okay, so we're dead and we're alive. But we're dead because Jesus did all of that to get us to that place so that we can become alive. Now, David didn't sit around and he didn't want to talk about his adultery, his murder, and all of the stuff like that. He said, I'm sorry. I did wrong. Please forgive me, God. Please, he asked for forgiveness from his fellow man because he was condemned. The prophet Nathan come and said, you're the man. See, you know what? We get condemned, don't we? When we do something wrong, we get condemned. Okay, so has anyone ever been condemned besides all of us? I'm just bringing it to memory. But you know, the fact is that old man's dead. And the new man lives, and he wants us to talk about Isaac, the new man. Isaac, the new man. Mary, the new woman. Jim, the new man. He wants to talk about the new man. Sometimes when we go into prayer, after we get done with all of our discussions, we have to pray our discussions away so we can go to the new man. Because we've talked about so many negative things that we know that we weren't in God. That's our prayer meeting Saturday morning. You should come out and enjoy us. You should come out to our prayer meeting because we have to pray and repent so we can pray so we're in the Spirit, you know. But you know what? The fact is, God doesn't love us any less or any more because he loves us with everything that he is from the foundations of the earth. And he had this great plan. And he said, I'm going to take all of the old and put it into Christ, that old man Christ. Jesus didn't want us to talk about him every year, talking about him crucifying up on the thing, putting him in a cradle again, rock-a-bying. Isn't that baby Jesus? It isn't baby Jesus. I mean, you'd be a warped person if you did that to any one of your relatives. You kept on saying, yeah, now we're celebrating. He's a baby. No, he's not a baby. He's 50 years old. Yeah, but he was born then, so we're going to celebrate. Jake, I just turned 65. I wanted a baby. I wanted a baby shower. You big baby. That'd be pretty foolish, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would irritate me. But we do it every year. I mean, for 2,000 years, Jesus is irritated with us looking at you. Now you put me in the cradle again. Now you're going to put me on the cross again. Then you throw me down in the tomb again. Then you resurrect me out. Hey, he is the resurrected Lord. It happened 2,000 years ago. And I tell you what, it's getting better, 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 better by the day. Now, realizing that we're living in a dispensation of time that is very dangerous as far as what we look at end time scenario. But the fact is there's greater glory in 2017 than any other time that we've ever existed, because we continue to grow in the knowledge and the likeness of what Jesus has accomplished through who he is. Amen? Shandaraba shakarabasa. I mean, you know what? We should be so crazy wild. We should be running on the back of the steps. We should take nations by storm. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's just, I mean, this stuff is so powerful. And it goes on. We will never deal with that their sin because we have, because Jesus has dealt with it. That means everything is free to become complete in you as fast as you want. And we will tell them that they do not become a new person by changing your behavior, because we actually killed your old behavior. You discover who you are because in Christ, and you behave accordingly. You discover who you are becoming in Christ, and behave accordingly. So we will put them into Jesus, and we will talk to them all the time about being new. We will teach them how to think differently, how to see differently, and how to talk about themselves differently. It will be brilliant. It will be fun. And the Holy Spirit will enjoy himself. You remember the Holy Spirit saying, I don't want to bring behavior management into the Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit's probably, he's so excited about his job. But you see, if we go back and we talk about all this stuff, it's not even God. It has nothing to do with God. We're dragging a dead man around. Hallelujah. And so now we've got this new man on the inside of us. We're not dragging it around anymore. And the Holy Spirit is so excited. He's Mr. Enthusiastic. He's saying, wow, what can I do for you? Jake, what can I do for you today? I grabbed my Bible. You know, it's been a little difficult. But I started a process, because every day I wanted to read the Bible, just like Jolie, just read the Bible every day. She's still in process on that. But then we can communicate with each other because we read the Word of God every day. You hear what I'm saying? And now Tom's been starting doing it, and now we're talking about, we've been in Samuel, actually we've been talking about David and all this stuff. So we start doing something, and the Holy Spirit, he's breathing on it, and it's fun.
Amen.
In fact, I wake up in the morning, I'm all excited about it. What's going to happen today? Pretty exciting, because it's not behavior management on my part, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one that paid the price, and now here we are. We got it all. We got it all. I'm a new man walking. I've never walked before. The cells of my body sing forth a new life. Come on.
Amen.
They radiate the beauty of God because there's something new and alive in us. That's why it says that he can quicken even your mortal body. That's how you get healed. That's how you get delivered. That's how blindness has to leave. That's how death has to flee. That's how all these miracles happen. Because Jesus is not dead, and he's not talking about old things. He's talking about brand new things. Amen? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. See, because negativity is going to come back. If you took a look at negativity in our nation today, it's at the all-time high in negativity. If you look at the news, the views are slanted this way, and then the other views are slanted this way, and there is no cooperation. It's called disunified. Actually, I call it disjointed, because it's went to that far. If you get a disjointed arm, and you whip it out like this, and it's kind of like now this elbow's going that way and your arm's like that, you got a problem. What do you got? You're disjointed. And that's really what the devil's wanting to do in the earth today. He wants to disjoint things. But the fact is, there's nothing greater than the unity that God has for us in 2017. If you access it by principle and by your baptismal vows, if it may, that I went down and identified with all of these things. And you know what? I've known this for all my life, except I didn't know that I knew. You know what I'm saying? Something like my statement like this, well, I don't know what baptism does for me. What do you mean you don't know what baptism does for you? It reads right here, you bury the old, you bury the dead, you bury all that so that you can be resurrected in newness of life. Hello.
Come on.
So what am I going to concentrate on? Newness of life, because the other stuff is buried. If you'd think I was very strange if I buried a person a year ago and then every year I'd go back and I'd dig them up and take them up. How you doing? How's happening? You'd think I would be a very strange person, and I would be a very strange person if I did that. But the fact is, our lives are pretty much that way because we learn so much by the media. We learn so much by our Christian educational systems, where right now they say that the liberal view of the Christian education is that something like 94%. The professors that are teaching our children, we're sending them there, and they're putting out a negative view that's going to come against your nation, it's going to come against your family, it's going to come against your grandchildren, it's going to come against all that. That's negativity at its best, and we're doing great at it. But the church isn't that way, and the kingdom of God isn't that way. God has a great deal. It's called the Holy Spirit saying, I'm real excited about working with you, son or daughter. And once the Holy Spirit starts working with you, don't worry about the old things, they're going to leave. Isn't that right?
Right?
I mean, I tell you what, when I got saved, I had so many old things in me, it scared me. It literally scared me. And I did get the Christian lingo in about a month. That helped me a little bit. But you know what? You can't live on the Christian lingo. Hello.
Right.
We have to all be politically correct. We all have to be religiously correct. We all have to agree with all of the religious baloney, garbage, lies that go with the system that we're functioning in. It's called the religious system. It's called the political system and all these things. And if we believe the lie, don't worry. It won't be the new man that you're functioning out of.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Right.
And this is a fight for your life. This is a fight for your sons and daughters. This is Nehemiah. This is building the walls. How far were they? They come together. They were in family. This is my family. This is my family. This is my family. If we have problems, the trumpet blast starts blasting, and we all come together to fight the enemy. Not to discuss the enemy. Oh, Sam Ballin, he's a real tough hombre. If we get into a fight with Sam Ballin, you're going to get the snot beat out of you. No! It's not to discuss him. It's to destroy the works of the devil. Well, what about Geshem? You know what Geshem is. And how about Tobiah? He married in the religious system and married the religious system. You're married to the religious system. Well, how are we ever going to get through that? You're going to bury it. You're going to let it die. You're going to rise up in newness of life.
That's right.
And you know what? Then down with religion, up with Jesus Christ. Down with all of the stuff that we do, Christians, what we do. And then going to the Word and saying, the Bible's true. And I don't care who comes against it. I don't care if he's got 15 crowns on his head. When he comes against something about the Spirit of God, if you don't rise up and if you don't take the new way, you're going to be captured by negativity. Amen? And so we're excited about this new season of time that we're in. We're excited about your family. We're excited about new things becoming just so beautiful. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to go, wow, I'm beautiful today. Wow, I'm looking. Why not? Yeah, I mean, you, why not? I mean, I'm a good-looking dude. Yeah. Somebody has to be convinced of it. and one on me. But you know what? When you start living like that, you start let's say, hey, you know what? No problem. You know, just because my haircut got a little short, no problem. I can make it. I can make it out. Just because my neck looks a little bit like a map that has been kind of veined, that don't make any difference. Because I'm a new man walking. I got God living in me. Right. I'm a new person. Well, yeah, but 65, you're going to die next year. You're a lying devil. I'm not dying next year. I'm never going to die, actually, if you figure that out, Mr. Negativity. I'm living forever, Tom.
Right.
I'm going to live forever. We've got the great, you talk about, it's not even a game changer. It's done. We win. The rest of it loses. And you know what? It affects every aspect of our life. I'm not talking about just a little bit. Every aspect of our life is affected by what we're talking about here. And if we can just get on top of that and start just saying, hey, dear, honey, husband, wife, children, if we could get on top of this and start discussing this, it began to be so real. And it can take nations. Right now, we're struggling. I'm struggling with nations, quite a few nations in Central America, because they cannot embrace what we're talking about here. So it's like that God put me in a kind of a holding place, and I think maybe he's dealing with me, thank you, Jesus, so I don't have to talk about another person. Oh, yeah, well, if they did this, my thought, then they'd be all right. I got caught yesterday. You know, when you get really whipped up, you know something because you've seen it on CNN or Fox News the night before and you know everything about it. You're feeling good about yourself. And then you're, yeah, I know that. And then I got going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, I don't know if it was Tom or Danny. I think maybe it was Danny. Danny said, yeah, but what about, oh, it was on the jet skis. You remember the jet skis? Now, this is very spiritual. It was on the jet skis that they were going too close to the shore, and you're supposed to be 200 yards off the shore, and you don't even have that in the river, and of course, then you talk. And I was just going on, well, why don't them people that are driving those jet skis, why don't they rise up and fight the system? And then somebody said this. They said, well, what about the homeowner that's paying the taxes on the beach that these guys are driving or gals are driving past and making all this noise? And what about all the fishermen that lives on the beach that's fishing and paying taxes? It took the air out of my balloon, Isaac. It was like, and my balloon was like this. It's kind of surprising how you can get on the bandwagon. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm on the bandwagon. You know what? I can get into sin issues, and I could preach sin that you'd think that sin's a good thing. That's most of the church these days. Ooh. Well, what do we got? What do we got? Is gay rights a good way to go, or not a good way to go? And I'm not criticizing them, because I never seen in the scripture that they were condemned.
That's right.
They have the same power that we have, but we keep on agreeing with a negative report, and we send people to a place because we do not have the right information to stand up and say, no, this is the way this is coming down. All that old thing is gone. Then I'm going to go talk to my brother or sister that's in bondage, and they're going to come out of it because they're going to see the good thing. Muslim Islam is not our problem. Oh, I got a great idea. Get the big mother bomb and go over there and drop the big mother bomb, naming a stupid bomb, mother bomb, whatever that means. And they drop it on Afghanistan. We're sending motorcycles to Afghanistan to try to get the people saved. They're dropping the mother bomb. I said, well, something's going on. Okay, what's the best thing? Bring them to Christ. When Islam and those that believe in the Muslim way, when they hear the truth about the gospel, they're out of there. They convert. biggest revival that's going on right now is Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Is there some bad things going on? Yes, but how about all the good things? How about let's talking about the good things? How many people gave their life to Jesus Christ at a crusade last week in Thief River Falls? Did I step on something here? Hallelujah. Point well taken. Well, Father, we believe, Lord, that you got this thing all under control, and our identification is in Jesus Christ. He's really excited about telling everyone about what he's wanting to do. Amen? Hallelujah. God's excited. We do not have to fight negativity by engaging with it. Hallelujah. If you engage with negativity, you just give it a focus. And whatever you focus on, you give it power. Father, we don't focus on negativity. We focus on the newness of life in us. Whatever that means, Lord, to each person. You're not pushing us or you're not forcing us into anything except into the goodness of who you are and what you're wanting us to be in you. I release, Lord, the goodness of God this Memorial Day weekend when we honor the soldiers like the past, the present, the future. God, we honor you as the great soldier that went in and busted the gates of hell wide open and set the captives free. Father, today we release captivity of each person here. God, I pray, Lord, that the captivity and the armies of God would invade all of our lives right now. We ask, Lord, for the most prosperous time that we've ever seen on the face of the earth. God, that we would see the kingdom of God and the kingdom schedules come forth like we never see. We pray for Hope Fest. We hope, Lord, that there's 10 to 12 to 14, 15,000 people coming out and their lives are going to be transformed because we're talking about that and celebrating the newness of life. We release each aspect of your goodness, Lord, upon each one of us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up? And let's confess something. Confession is good for the soul. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I confess you
as the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
That God, you love me so very, very much.
Right now.
Just the way I am. You love me. And you do everything the same way because it was a great plan. And so if it was 2,000 years ago plan, I bring the plan here today. And each person can receive the plan. The whole thing. All of it.
All of Jesus.
We release all of Jesus upon every person here. And God, that we will be a game changer in 2017 and beyond. I love you. Think you're the greatest thing that's going. Continue to press in. Have a great weekend. And I guess our next meeting will be our prayer meeting that I invited you to. And you can help us stay on track the way I'm talking about it. God bless you. If you're needing prayer, please come and we'll pray and we'll see God do some real great things.